held at home. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord.
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Ooga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 64 of Three in the Box, your Punching McLeod in the Face Minnesota Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, March 9th. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about wins, dubs, rivals, trades, and playoff matchups. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
Okay, we're starting on a Monday, so this is really weird.
Monday.
Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Mondays.
Wait, are we Garfield now? Or
eating lasagna, being lazy?
And hating Mondays?
I was talking with a musician I work with. His mom would not let him watch Garfield as a kid because she thought it would make him lazy.
Wow. I watch a lot of Garfield, so maybe that explains some things.
Maybe this is why we're doing it on Monday.
Some kids got dropped on their head. Some kids watched Garfield.
I don't know.
Jive apparently had both.
Maybe.
Okay, I don't know where to go from there. Yeah, maybe that's probably the best way to do about it.
Well, our intros are getting weirder and weirder.
We're talking about dumpster babies one week, and now Garfield and lasagna.
Wait, who said lasagna?
What's next week? I mean, I don't even know.
Well, what's on the menu for this week?
Well, before we get to that, I'd just like to remind you, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at Three in the Box. We live tweet games. We retweet stuff about the hockey tournament, the high school hockey tournament, and Sweet Flows. And
let's go Edina. I mean,
yeah, you can't spell what is it? what? You can't spell eliminated
without E.
You can't spell eliminated without E D I N A.
Right.
Every day I need attention.
Exactly.
So
that's a pretty good tournament though last week, yeah. I must say.
Well, any time that Edina doesn't win is a good tournament.
Yeah, but Duluth East got blown out of the water in that championship game.
They did, but did they not play spoiler to a lot of teams along the way?
Yeah, but
they totally were not expected to even be there.
But where did it come in, though, at the championship game? It's like, okay, so you just beat the crap out of all these other teams that you should have lost to, and then you're just going to turtle up and do nothing?
Did you guys see that the mayor from Duluth wrote this like nasty tweet at Lou Nanny? Because Lou Nanny is like, oh yeah, Dinah's got this game over Duluth. And the Duluth mayor is like, how dare you? How dare you? When really Nanny was just giving Duluth East locker room, bulletin board material, and of course, we know how things worked out.
Well,
in the end, I mean, they lost to a team that also nobody else was able to beat.
They lost to
Lakeville.
Yeah, Minnesota Nordiques.
They were 31-0 this season.
That's
a pretty
awesome. That's like the Gophers women's team from, you're
right. Yep.
Like 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
So you can't down Duluth too much they lost, 3-1 to Lakeville there. So, yeah, it's all right. So
I think.
That was our high school rival of the week.
Yeah, wow. Totally unintended, but it kind of worked out that way. So I think we might as well get in the Wild right now, right?
Sounds good.
All right. So, yeah, at this point, I don't think I'm out of line when I say it was yet another unsurprising week for the Wild as they go 3-1, beating the Senators, Caps, Hurricanes, before losing last night against the Avalanche. Dubnyk continues to be impressive as the Wild haven't lost a game by more than they haven't lost a game by more than a goal since January 19th. We're coming up on 2 months of a lot of even when we lose, it's close games.
Right.
OTs.
One-point
games.
Yeah, I mean, not that the Wild have lost a whole ton of games.
No.
You know, You know, and what's more impressive is that aside from getting dubbed in Colorado,
that
know,
was awesome.
On the road, he was getting dubs in, you know, from the crowd in Washington and in Carolina this week. How is it that the Wild can just walk into these arenas, you know, with teams that aren't doing too bad? I mean, Carolina aside, you know, Colorado is still kind of in it. Yeah. Washington's definitely in it.
Oh, yeah.
How is it that we're walking into their arenas and we've infiltrated them with dudes?
Well,
go ahead.
Here's my thing. Washington, that arena was dead most of the game. They had a big snowstorm go through that day. You know, the crowd was very unenergetic, to say the least. And I'm guessing that the only people, you know, that made it to the arena were people that know how to drive in snow.
Hence, Minnesota fans.
Minnesota fans.
Minnesota. Finnesnoda.
Finnesnoda.
I, on the other hand, I think I have a little bit different theory here, though. My theory is just that, I mean, this is an exciting story for more than just the Wild here. I mean, you know, a goalie coming over to a team and, like, a huge turnaround in
basically
the
being a castaway.
Yeah. I mean, it's
a Cinderella story.
It's an exciting Cinderella story. And I mean, if you're a hockey fan anywhere, you're going to look at it and enjoy it. I mean, it's, unless they're beating your team, I mean, it's a great story.
Well, I mean, you know, you bring up a very valid point there. He, you know, being the very first Minnesota number one star in the NHL, anybody that follows hockey is gonna see who the number one, number two, number three stars are of the month by NHL standards. Yep. And I mean, I think walking into arena, anytime he starts making big saves, especially in a close game, like, I mean, Washington was a pretty close game,
right?
So was pretty Carolina for that month.
They've all been close games. Right. Let's be honest. You know?
I think that you're going to have the true hockey fans there that would start actually potentially cheering for him, especially on a team that's coming from a completely different conference.
Okay, but what if you flip it around and say, no, all those fans are uneducated and stupid, and once they hear the Wild fans that have infiltrated them dubbing dubes, they then boo dubes, thinking that the other real fans, the Minnesota fans, are booing.
Well, then I'm going to go with this 80-20% rule. So 80% for people liking what you have going on is great. 20%, you know, you can just let them go by the wayside. Now you start getting to stupidity levels, you get 20% of Minnesota fans in there when the opposing team doesn't know what the hell is going on. I think that 20% could easily start riling them up and turn the boos into dubs. Or the dubs into what the opposing team is thinking, boos, and it just comes out.
It comes out as ooh. Like,
the ooh is the important part of it.
It makes me think of the Seinfeld episode where George gets a double aught jersey with Coco on the back name. on the back of the jersey, and they go, why am I? He goes, why am I getting that? And he goes, because Coco makes sounds like ooh ooh ah, which makes me go, I wish to see more hockey players wearing double O.
Didn't we look this up? There hasn't been many.
I thought you were going to say that you wish to see more Seinfeld at hockey games.
I'd be okay with that too. I think he's more of a baseball guy, you know.
Hockey, the game about nothing.
Although he does have the great episode where they go to a Devils game and they do the Devils chest painting. And that's their only way to get into the game is if they paint Devils on their chest, which is another great one. So,
well, speaking of, we'll be seeing Devils later this week.
Yeah, we will, actually. Yeah. But on the side from that, we didn't trade for any Devils. We had the trade deadline come up here, and we didn't trade for any Devils, but, you know, we did make some moves.
The Wild did make a few moves at the deadline. One of those moves, there was a letter from Jordan with a Y that was, obviously enough to convince Fletcher to bring Jordan with an A, Leopold, back to the back home, back here to Minnesota, and he's joined the Wild now. The Wild, they sent away Falk,
who demanded a trade.
Who was demanding a trade.
If anyone's going to demand a trade, Falk.
Right.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, Bergenheim also demanded a trade from Florida.
Right.
I think we did better off than...
I think Bergenheim's a little bit better than Falk, though. Yeah, but, just know. A
touch.
We also sent off a fifth rounder to the Blue Jackets for that. But, you know, that said, I mean, do you guys really think that Leopold's daughter had any sort of influence in this trade?
I think the bigger question is, really? Jordan and Jordan? Seriously?
Well, I'm guessing is she the oldest?
Yeah, she is the oldest, so she is the firstborn. So, that said, you know, if you were going to name your firstborn after you... and it just happens to come out as being a girl then.
You know, I mean, but that would be like, you know, me being named Kenny and then calling my son Kenny. I mean, how stupid is that?
Wow. I don't even know where to go from there. I almost want to throw my beer at you. I seriously almost want to throw my beer at you right now.
I'm sorry, man. I had
stupid,
to.
I'm Canadian and I love cigarettes.
Thanks for derailing that whole topic.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
I mean, wow. You can't even name your kid after you.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. Because you get the familial like lineage where like, I'm Preston... Thumb squat the third or whatever, you know.
I still want to throw my beer at you.
Wow.
But
there's a very expensive mic in front of your face I don't want to ruin.
So back to your question. No, his daughter had nothing to do with influence on the trade. It's because he was a Minnesotan and he was cheap.
And he's WCHA.
And his name was Leopold, which is very close to the owner's name of Leopold, just spelled a little differently. Craig Leopold was like, is that my son or a nephew? I think we better go get him.
It's a bastard child from a whore.
That said, though, do you not...
Sorry, I've been watching Game of Thrones a lot lately.
It's not Jordan Snow.
That said, I think that it did have a little bit to do with it. I don't think that was
the last name being Leopold.
No, his daughter. That wasn't the final deciding factor. But I'm pretty sure that the front office took this and ran with it because that was
that's great PR.
That's a great heartwarming story. And yeah, it's brought a lot of attention on. I mean, it even brings in. Like, you know, fair weather fans or fans who are kind of on the outer
picked
perimeter.
Up on it and they don't like hockey.
Right. But they're totally playing up, though. And it's kind of like that kid last season that Charlie Coyle waved to. Uh-huh. How they played it up and replayed it. It was like nauseatingly sugar sweet. You know, they had her, and I feel bad for, you know, picking on her, you know, at all.
Because she's probably actually really happy. Her dad's,
right.
Her dad's home. I mean, he's going to be home a lot more often now.
But
right?
it's that the whole organization is exploiting that moment of sincerity and sweetness and basically just wringing it.
Until his contract goes up and then he gets shipped off somewhere else. Right.
And next year, you know, the Wilder will be somewhere else and, you know, and she'll be like, hey... My daddy is playing.
Can I get my daddy back?
My daddy is in Russia.
You guys are horrible.
But I do think that the media and the Wild are totally milking it, this whole situation. It feels kind of gross, actually.
Well, it apparently, I think it was Paul Allen that originally put this out?
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, my understanding is his family still lives here.
Yeah.
Always has. Yep. And then he would just come in off season and then...
And maybe not initially, but, you know, after getting... This is, what, his seventh trade?
Oh, yeah, he's been bouncing around, you know, more than a freaking pinball.
So I think at a certain point he was like, okay, I'm just going to leave my family at one spot. So
leave them intact. And
so my kids can go to the same school and get friends. And so I think for the at least last, you know, few years, his family's been at home in Minnesota while he's been traveling.
Which, I mean, you know, being from Minnesota, I'm guessing there was still extended family around.
Sure, sure.
Brothers, sisters, grandparents, aunts, uncles, what have you, to at least, you know, make up for it. But it's still got to be tough to be on the road that often. I mean,
oh yeah,
you know, it's no different than a musician or a roadie.
Right.
Where
and it's tough to keep a family together like that. I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, trust me. I mean, I know a lot of guys with a lot of divorces.
Yeah. So, I mean, that said, I mean, who do you think is actually, you know, the winner in this trade? I mean, the Blue Jackets, are they, you know, they got a fifth rounder and they got Falk from us. I mean, who do you say?
Well, I would say the fifth rounder is probably a little bit better than Falk.
The fifth rounder is higher than Falk.
probably. We got Falk for free, so.
Yeah.
I mean, how's their AHL team looking right now? Do they need a Falk?
Do they give a Falk?
So, I think the consensus here then is going to be that the Wild did get the better end of the bargain here.
You know, the thing with that is Leopold, I mean, four games, he's -2 right now.
He hasn't been that great in a short stint.
I haven't been liking his play. And, I mean, the first game we saw him play, I was, you know, kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt. Like, I mean, he missed what would seem obvious to watching a Wild game, like a pass up to the blue line where he was already halfway back, that most Wild blue liners would have been right there to catch that pass. You know, some minor mistakes like that he wasn't used to the system. I'm going to give him another week to see exactly how I feel about him, but how it currently stands, I mean, I'm not very thrilled with his play so far.
So you don't think that he brings any depth that we've needed?
Oh, no. Defense? We definitely need some veteran defensemen on our squad, because I mean, we're losing guys right now left and right, and I think having somebody that at least knows the game of hockey is not a bad thing to have.
Well, and that's I guess what I look at, especially as the Wild are pushing on and looking for a playoff appearance here, is that Leopold has been in several, you know, playoff games, and In that respect, he's
won two championships at the X, I believe, or one. Minnesota State Hockey, and then
even in his NHL career, he's been
With the Gophers, games, but I can't remember if the Gophers were at the X that year, if they were the somewhere final five, else.
Yeah.
No, for the NCAA championship.
The NCAA one, yeah.
But, I mean, at the same point, you know, going back to whether or not you know, Jordan is a good player. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's a solid veteran defenseman. I don't think he's as good as he used to be.
How he was when he was playing with the U.
And if you look at every stop he's made, he's a minus for every team he's played for except for Pittsburgh, which is obviously, you know, has a history of being an offensive juggernaut. So he's a bit of a liability defensively. He can step up and score, which is, you know, doesn't ever hurt us. And he's only played four games now. I don't think he's really hurt us a whole lot. I mean, I know he's minus, but I don't think anything he's been on the ice for has been like, holy crap, that's his fault. That was his guy and he gave it away.
Right. No, I agree with that aspect of it. Detrimental, I don't see him being detrimental. However, I don't necessarily see him as being completely like an opportunistic point for the Wild either.
Well, right. And I don't think that they brought him in here to be God's gift to the defensive end of the things here. I mean, we've got a lot of top line defensemen already.
They brought him in to be that you know, third pair D-man.
Right. And something solid back there who, you know, has some experience. He can.
He's basically he's basically filling Ballard's shoes, and we basically
WCHA guy.
Like, he's from Minnesota, and he played in the WCHA.
He can get he can get it right.
He can replace Ballard.
Come in,
you know. But I think that's really what he's brought in for is because you know, especially with the injuries we had to Scandella and or have to Scandella and to us that we had to Spurgeon,
right?
Our depth was exposed.
Yes.
And, oh, absolutely.
You know, and so if it turns out that, you know, Spurgeon comes back, Spurgeon is back, but if, it, you know, Scandella comes back, and I think Leopold's going to be on the short end, and he might get some healthy scratches if that works out that way.
Yeah, the way Dumba's been playing, how can you sit that guy at this point?
Right.
I mean, he all the while do with him is win, right?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
So. Yeah.
You know, and, well, you know, aside from Leopold, you know, the Wild made another big trade. You know, they acquired Chris Stewart and a seventh-round pick for a third-round pick, adding some grit and gristle to the Wild's forward lines. Stewart already has showed us his physical side, getting in a fight with in the first minute of the game against the Avs last night against McLeod, Gavin McLeod, Love Boat, sorry. He got, and he has 2 points now in the first four games with the Wild. So, you know, when we look at this, you know, we give a picks a pick for him, a middle of the round pick. You know, so not a huge pick, but do we think we win this trade?
I think so. I think you know, Buffalo is our farm league. When it comes to end of the season playoff time.
We are the Minnesota Sabres, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how many guys have we yanked from Buffalo last minute? Palmerville was one 2 years ago.
Yep.
Last year we got Molson and Matt Molson and...
We sent down Torrey Mitchell to Buffalo because he signed with Buffalo,
right? Yeah, Torrey Mitchell and Matt Molson we got, and they ended up going back to Buffalo,
and then Konopka as well
was from Buffalo.
You know, so we've had many deals now with Buffalo back and forth.
Well, and we see where Buffalo sits today and we see where we sit today, so I think we've probably done better
Vanek
on those deals.
Vanek came from Buffalo.
Yeah, it's like,
can we send them back to Buffalo?
Seriously, it seems like every day we see him play, he's trying to get fans to hate him. He's
a new Heatley.
He's doing his best to become Heatley, and it's unfortunate.
I don't know. I think the Wild did better off on this trade, though. Going back to your question, Aaron. Yeah. Stewart, his first game we saw him play, he was lighting guys up right off the bat and wanting to show his grit. And I think that's something that the Wild definitely need, because we don't have a guy who's a hitter or a guy who's just straight up scrappy like that.
And he's not afraid to get in front of the net, and that's, you look at a lot
no,
of guys.
No, absolutely. The closest thing we'd have to him would be Cook.
And actually, you know, goes to my other question, you know, is, you know, obviously Stewart's our fill-in while Cook is out. So, you know, what if Cook makes it back? I mean, I don't think we've heard anything about him actually being healthy. But if Cook comes back, you know, what does that mean for Stewart?
I don't know that it means that Stewart is out at that point. Honestly, I mean, Cook is, I mean, he's getting well on in his years. I mean, he's, you know, he's not a spring tulip or whatever.
Spring chicken.
There we go.
Yeah, you know.
I'm thinking of flowers and stuff.
Bird,
you know?
Flower, one and the same.
But really,
but he's only
though,
like 34 years old, so he's not like really old.
No,
or
he's not really old. But I mean, Cook is, he's, you know, what, 5 or 6 years into the league now?
Oh, 36. Sorry. I was... he's older.
So he's
but...
been on there. Yep. I think that they would still, at this point, probably play Stewart into for probably his legs. I mean, Cook has been out a couple times this year.
But we'll play Cook for his knees.
Well, here's my thoughts on this. Right now, you got Chris Stewart playing the second line. Cook is a fourth line guy. And that's where he's been at. Stewart's also a right wing.
He hasn't always. Sometimes he's on second, sometimes he's on third.
Well, this is true.
Depends on who else is healthy.
You know, Stewart's playing right wing. Cook's playing left wing, though. So our current left wing, we got Parisi, Nino, we got Bergenheim, and Halla. So what if we move Halla back to center, take Brodziak on that fourth line, and move him over to the right wing?
Or maybe it becomes a Stewart, Cook, and Brodziak line, just a grinder line.
Get Coyle out of that center position on the third line, put Halla back up there, and then we got Vanek to deal with.
Yo, we got your line set up.
This is all provided Cook actually comes back. Yeah.
And, you know.
It's all speculation. But, I mean, you know, we got some guys to juggle around at that point, which is not our responsibility to do. We're just speculating on what could happen.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I don't know. I think that it's not really between the two.
No, I don't think it is because I think they're similar because they both like to grind, but I think Stewart's definitely a more physical player than Cook as far as actually ready and willing to, you know, throw down.
I think Cook has had his bell rung a few times over the years and he's a little more
cautious.
I mean, all you had to do is look back at his fight with Evander Kane.
Oh, wow.
And Evander Kane just cleaned his, you know, closet out.
Evander Kane has a tendency of doing that to a lot of people, though.
Right, right.
And but I mean I don't foresee Cook replacing Stewart or coming back and replacing Stewart or Stewart replacing Cook. I would love to actually see both of these guys on two separate lines, whether it's like the second and fourth or the second and third, third and fourth. But having two lines out there where we got a guy who's willing to get nice and gritty and just dig in the corners
and heading into the playoffs, that's exactly what we
absolutely
need. I mean, we need that physical play. I mean, really, I mean, even bringing it into, if you don't mind me moving on to the next topic.
Actually,
here.
I just wanted to ask you, though.
Yeah.
So if you're willing to play both Cook and Stewart, who do you drop out of our current forward situation? You know, are you dropping out Halla? Are you dropping out Fontaine? You know, it's like who? So that space has got to get filled by someone.
Yeah,
well, who are you pulling out of the current lineup?
Parisi, Granlund, Pominville are not going anywhere.
No,
Nino, Koivu,
Coyle aren't going anywhere.
Coyle, no. You got Bergenheim and Vanek.
Vanek probably isn't, even though I think we all agree he's hit and miss.
And then
Bergenheim might be on the short list too, just because he's a new guy.
But he hasn't
scored anything. I mean,
and then on the fourth line currently you got Halla, Brodziak, and Fontaine. Brodziak's a killer PK guy.
Right.
You know, he might suck everywhere else, but man, he can kill a penalty like there's no tomorrow.
Where's our PK at this year? I mean, we're doing pretty dang awesome, at least on that.
I mean, if he's on a breakaway on the PK, you know he's not going to score.
but at least he'll kill some time.
Right. He'll kill some time, and he's not going to be put in a bad position to give up contribute to the goal against the team.
Halla might be one of them. I mean, because right now Halla is not playing center. He's playing a left wing.
Right.
Koivu's left wing?
What was that?
Koivu's left wing?
Center.
That's the doghouse.
Oh, the doghouse. Right.
Sorry.
Taking it back there. I like it.
And then you'd have Fontrain.
And then, but, you know, what happens? What happens? I mean, we got a lot of guys that could potentially be coming back. You got Carter, you know. And if things go on long enough, if Zucker is ready to come back, things get really complicated here.
Again, we're looking at getting deep.
Right. But
where's the "that's what she said" sample?
Yeah, you know, it's...
but, I mean, is this a bad problem to have?
I know, but we already have one of our scratch spots taken up by a goalie.
This is true.
You know, so we don't have depth as far as in our scratch roster. You know,
we don't have depth at the scratch spot.
We don't, and these guys all have NHL contracts. So an option is not just to send them down to the AHL. It just that option ain't there.
But it is. I mean, this time of year. I mean, as the season wears on, these guys have played 50, 60 games. I mean, injuries are bound to happen here.
Right.
So I guess I'd rather be in this position than what are we going to do if somebody goes down?
Can we injure Vanek in practice?
Well, actually, speaking of people going down, McKinnon for the Avs was just lost.
Yeah.
And I think he's lost basically for the season. I mean, he's lost for a good period with a knee injury.
No, it is. I believe it is going to be for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Good. So
screw that guy.
Well, you
well,
know,
screw that yeah. team.
So, well, I mean, speaking of McKinnon, I mean, this week the Wild ended their week with the Avalanche. They visited the Wild here in the, at the X. I think this is really fast becoming a pretty heated rivalry here.
Oh, no
basically,
doubt.
You know, between the last 2 weeks, the matchups were McLeod. Last week's matchup where McLeod was sent out with what, you know, three seconds
yep.
remaining in the game.
Let's
yeah.
hope Watt does not hear this podcast right now.
Right. He'll right. be on us then too, right?
And he'll have McLeod's right. agents calling us
yeah.
to sue us or something.
So I mean, he's sent out in the final seconds there. He gets into a scrap with Coyle after going after Granny. Then a minute into yesterday's game, he gets into a brawl with our new acquisition, Stewart.
Yep.
Who you just mentioned here.
Nice little 5 minute.
Yeah. So emotions, I mean, they seem to be running high. So even amongst the fans, I mean, we saw in, what was that, at down in Colorado last week? Where the fans even got into it in the
there was a nice little
stands,
a nice little scrum. Right. Some say it was a Wild fan that started it. Some say it was a Colorado fan.
Right.
Regardless, you know, some people got tossed out, and I think there were more Wild fans in that arena than there were
yep.
Avs fans. So
going back
so.
To the noobs,
and based on you know interviews and stuff we've seen with WA this week. He keeps pointing back even to last season, you know, obviously holding a grudge about, you know, Cook's knee-on-knee hit. And
okay.
I mean.
Jive, I got to ask you this.
Okay.
What player or coach would have more of a grudge against the Wild? I mean, that is a team that's, what, 15 years old?
Right.
Than a guy who's been his very last game of his NHL career, he got knocked out of the playoffs on by the Wild.
Yeah,
his very first season as a head coach, Game 7, he gets knocked out by the Wild. His first two games of this season, he gets shut out by the Wild.
First three games
three
against
games.
The Wild were shutouts.
Yeah.
Through, back here.
Yeah, three. Yep.
On a birthday.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. So, I mean, can you honestly... It's like me hating Dallas just because of freaking Green.
So then what you're telling me then is that this was some obvious rivalry stuff going on. These were paybacks going on and these weren't just things that happened to happen.
Exactly. And you know what?
Nothing happens with WA. He I think he fashions himself as like the Belichick of hockey.
I think he took too many pucks to the mask.
I mean, just look at last year, or maybe it was, yeah, it had to have been last year, you know, where he was banging on the glass, dividing the benches with Boudreau and going ballistic. I mean, the guy is unbalanced, I think, at the very least. I think he's a smart guy. He's a game changer, because obviously now all coaches are doing, you know, pulling goalies at 3 and 4 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not going to deny his insight and his skill as both as a goalie and as a coach. But I do think that every coach has to have a certain level of unpredictability to them to really be successful. Because if you're predictable, you're probably not a very good coach.
Yeah.
Because otherwise other people can game plan you pretty
keep
easily.
Something up your sleeve.
Right.
Yeah.
That being said, he's obviously holding a grudge. I mean, come on. he's still hurt over Barry getting knocked out. I don't know that it would have changed the outcome of the playoffs at all.
He's going after our sports writer, our hockey writer now.
Right. As we were alluding to, I mean, yeah, he's basically saying that because Russo is saying that there's a heated rivalry in that.
He almost alluded to the, it's like Slapshot where he put a bounty on McLeod's head.
Right.
And it's like, what? No, that article wasn't even close to that.
Yeah, there's a Russo article basically where he just talked about the rivalry, and Waugh read it as
a bounty on McLeod's head.
On McLeod's head, and that McLeod's agent should,
Russo's got good lawyers.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, McLeod's agent's going to go after him if something happens to him. And
for all of Russo's money, I'm sure as a beat writer for the Wild, he's right. Raking it in.
I'm thinking Russo might have more time in the NHL than Waugh.
No. I don't think so.
No.
You know, Waugh retired in, what, 2003?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a big break in there, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, valid point.
Yeah.
Because then he played for...
Played a long time.
20 years?
He put in his time, and I have respect for him as a player and a coach.
But even as a player, he was a little unbalanced. I mean, that's part of the reason he was out of, Quebec, you know? Because he had issues, and
but now he's back in Quebec or Colorado. It is now,
right? Well, it's different Quebec, but you know. Anyway,
we're more acceptable of him here in the U.S. As opposed to being a Canadian.
You know, we
stupid. I'm Canadian. And I love cigarettes.
We like guys that want to put their balls on the table. You know, so
right.
that seems like a very American thing, you know. Put your balls on the table. Okay.
Well, when you spell your name like Roy, it should be like Roy Rogers or something.
So anyways, but I mean, so I think that everybody's in agreement here now. We've got a rivalry going on, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So in my opinion, I'm going to say that the Wild have dominated the season series this year. They did, you know, fall to the Avalanche there yesterday at the X.
Right.
But they've owned the season series this year. They knocked the Avs out, as you mentioned, in Game 7 last year.
Yep.
Out of the playoffs. I'm thinking that we're owning it, you know. I'm thinking we're the big dog on the block at this point right now.
You know, they got some young talent that's up and coming. And I think with a couple of smart draft picks and maybe a couple of smart trades, we may not own it as much as we are right now.
No.
Because Colorado still has a very, very good squad. And, they've come on hard times this year, I think, as far as injuries and just some tough losses.
Oh, I think it's part of its injuries, and I also think it is they don't have a ton of depth. As great as Iginla, as big of a Wild killer that Iginla is, Iginla's getting old.
He is.
He's not the same Iginla that was with Calgary, you know, so many years ago.
Did you just say Calgary?
Yes, I
Take
did.
Take me away.
Calgon?
Yeah, Calgary.
I don't know. It's a rivalry that I want to continue to see develop because I think it's going to be a good one. And, you know, rivalries don't happen because of borders or because of what we want to see. They happen naturally, and I think it's naturally developing with Colorado right now.
And this
now.
Is probably the first real it's a two-way we hate you rivalry.
Absolutely.
You know, we like to think we had a rivalry with the Canucks. The Canucks didn't give a damn about us.
No, they had Calgary involved.
We like to think that we had a rivalry with Dallas. Dallas, they don't even care about hockey, let alone the Wild. And in Chicago, they've got other... They got St. Louis. They got Detroit. North Stars maybe, but that was, 100 years ago,
Right, it's not now.
None of the players were adults even when the... North Stars
left. Half of them weren't even born.
And most of them weren't born, still. Yeah. So it's and Winnipeg, that might become something, but it's still too soon to really tell, you know?
You know, right now, I think the biggest thing we're going to have with Winnipeg is who's going to take what spot, potentially take what spot in the wild card.
Yeah.
But, no, I think the thing with Colorado is actually naturally developing, so.
And I guess, in my opinion, the Wild do, you know, own statistically the rivalry right now. But honestly, as far as, like, the emotional side of it goes, I think that they're throwing it in our face between, you know, Waugh and, I mean, he's obviously not afraid to speak his mind on things. Yo is more of the soft-spoken coach. I mean, we saw him blow up earlier this year.
He's Teddy Roosevelt coach.
Right.
Speaks softly, carry a big stick, you know?
But, and then whack people with it every now and again.
But so, I don't know. I guess on the emotional side of things, I think that, you know, they might be carrying it that way, but and they might be actually getting under our skin.
Well, so, you know, Colorado actually just kind of kept us away from 2 points from advancing a little bit farther in the playoff standings. So, you know, right now, Playoff Watch 2015, we've got 16 regular season games left. Wild are in top wild card position by 1 point over Winnipeg and 5 points behind Chicago for third place in the division.
See, so you said it was just 2 points, but had they not, you know, had they had those 2 points,
it would have been 3-3.
They'd have still been right behind Chicago there, see?
By 3 points. But, I mean, it seems like the past couple of weeks we've talked about this, they've been about 6 points behind Chicago no matter what, or 5 points. I mean, I don't really see much ground being made. But with that being said, you know, what's the ultimate spot you want to see the Wild at? Because if the Wild take that third place spot, they're probably going to be playing St. Louis or potentially Chicago first round.
I guess I would like to see the Wild still at this point shoot and overtake the Blackhawks position and have a solid position in the playoffs there.
Because that means potentially home. Right.
Well, we some would have a potential home ice advantage.
Yeah.
I mean. You know, with where it sits right now, they'd be playing Nashville first round, which I think we still have 2 games left against Nashville. But obviously with that last game, I mean, Nashville kind of took a slump for a second there too.
I don't even know if it was a slump. I think we found their number and we dialed it.
But after that, I mean, they lost a few games in a row.
Well, and it happens to everybody. I mean, that's the thing. This is the NHL. I mean, all the teams that are out there can win on any given day. Even the worst of the worst, even the Sabres can walk in. And I mean, it's not like they have no wins on the season, right? So, I mean, that said, you can't discount anybody.
So, I mean, currently, you know, we're 5 points behind. Chicago. Chicago's 3 points behind St. Louis. St. Louis is 2 points behind Nashville. Obviously, these teams are going to continue to win some games. Where do you think they're going to end up? I mean, do you think they're going to end up going a little higher? Do you think they can actually take the third or possibly second spot in the division yet?
I think
we still have a few games against St. Louis and Chicago.
If they continue on their current ways, I mean, that's definitely a possibility. I mean, if you look at the Wild since the All-Star break, I mean, what have they lost? Four games since the All-Star break?
Yeah, a few of them. Right. I mean, they're basically leading the NHL in wins since the All-Star break.
With Ottawa being really close.
Yeah. Which we ended up beating Ottawa barely.
Barely.
In a shootout.
Right.
And that said, I mean, that's the thing. Right now, with Dubnyk playing in the net for us, I'm very confident because even last night, things got a little out of hand against the Avalanche.
Right.
You know, it got up to 3-0, but I'm not going to discount Dubnyk's play last night.
No.
There's sometimes going to be goals that get in. I mean, that's a game of hockey. You know?
Right, right.
That's what happens. But I find that we are always in these games, yeah. And that's that's the thing is we're not losing by I think you guys might have mentioned this earlier. You know, we're not losing by 2, 3, 4 goals. We're losing by a goal.
Yeah, was that by since the beginning of the year or since the All-Star break? We have not had a loss of more than 1 point.
That would actually be since probably right around the All-Star break, actually.
Yeah.
Since Dubnyk, at least.
Dubnyk has only lost 1 game by 2 goals.
And he's continuing to set the most starts by a Wild player. What is he at, like 23 right now? 24?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And Dubs, we trust, man. We're always in the game then still. And, I mean, we've even seen it out of the Wild. That's the other thing is... As long as we're close and within striking distance, the Wild have found themselves down in a lot of games, down a goal coming into the third period, and they're showing that's what shows me that they've got some potential in the playoffs and to go deep. Actually, is that they're making those plays in the third period when things count.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So.
So, continuing going forward, coming up this week, the Wild, you know, the topic from now until the end of the season is how the Wild schedule is. I mean, it's a tough schedule, and it's definitely not easy this week.
Yeah, there's only two games where he faced non-playoff teams, and one of those two games is against the Kings.
Which they could potentially still be a playoff team.
Potentially, yeah.
Well, the other game is against the Devils, that's coming up on Tuesday. So we got, you know, the Devils and the Ducks at home, and then we play the Blues and the Predators on the road. You know, the Devils on paper should be the easy win, but we've seen this before against the Oilers when we played them, and it was, you know, just they put up numbers. They're being a spoiler team. So between the Devils, Ducks at home, Blues, Predators on the road. What do you think is going to be the toughest game this week?
Man, you have to look with the Wild team. You have to look at the road. I think. I mean, those are always our toughest games.
They've done very well on the road this year.
lately, yeah. Yeah. And home has been hit or miss. You know,
right.
Loss against the Oilers, loss against Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's true. But at the same point, you know. Kenny, you brought it up. You know, Predators, since that loss against us, I think they're on a 6-game losing streak. You know, are they going to be coming at home against the Wild looking for a win?
So that's going to be tough in and of itself right there.
And, you know, and it's been a while since we've seen the Blues. You know,
Blues are fighting for the top spot. They're only a few points behind Nashville right now. And only a few points ahead of Chicago. So, I mean, it's a tight race that everybody's fighting for points.
But I when I look at the schedule, though, for this upcoming week, I have to go to the Wild with the Blues as being the toughest game. That's going to be also the second half of a back-to-back on the road. There's no way I can't make that the toughest game of the week at all, you know.
And I guess I would have to... pretty much agree with you there that the Blues is going to be a tough game. But like you say, the Predators are either on the verge of turning around their losing streak, or they're going to be looking back to the Wild as start of their problems, and they're going to have it out for them. So I see that as being a very tough game for them as well.
With the Predators game, I mean, we should probably preface this. I mean, it's just over a week away. It's next Tuesday.
Right.
So the Predators are going to have a few games in between there, as well as the Wild, obviously.
And we might have a podcast on Sunday this game.
That's kind of the intermittent games.
Right.
So what you're saying is we're playing for our 3-in-the-box week here. We make our own time.
Absolutely.
That's right.
It's like jive time.
Right.
Except 3 people.
You know, we just dealt with daylight savings time, so.
Right.
Be a day off.
3-in-the-box time.
We need to sleep in a little bit.
My whole point about that, though, was that Nashville could have a time to actually get up and actually win a game and then lose and then be back on their normal regularly scheduled program.
So is our calendar better than Google Calendar? You know, since they finally went back to a 7-day week in their application?
Yes, absolutely. Everybody should schedule their time around us.
Yes, I agree.
Every day is Sunday.
No, because then I got to work like 12 hours a day.
Yeah. Or
18.
And you can't get beer unless you go to Wisconsin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Come on, legislators. Get it together.
Well, going back to hockey.
Getting awfully political here. There might be people that dissent from our beer drinking ways.
There's sober people in Minnesota right now that need their beer.
Think about the sober people. And pray for them.
Oh, good Lord.
Where are we going with this?
I have no idea.
I think we're headed to the game of the week, right?
Yes. So last week's game of the week was Wild at Capitals, and the only one to pick Wild winning was Kenny.
Whoop, whoop!
And the Wild obviously won.
I mean, dupes.
Hey, Jive, guess what?
What?
I caught up to you.
Yeah, you slacker.
Yeah, so Kenny.
Took you long enough.
Kenny and Jive both have 12 points. I'm still trailing a ways away at 7 points. So I yet again get to pick the game of the week, and this time I'm choosing the Wild at Blues because I think that's going to be a tough game. I'm going to choose the Blues to win because it's a home game for them, and I'm going 3 total goals. You know, it's a shot in the dark, but I'm going to guess for a low scoring game. Kenny.
You know, it worked for me last week. I think I'm going to go with it again. You know, they're on a roll. I got to go with the Wild. I'm going with 4 goals. I see a 2-1 game with an empty netter involved somehow.
Kenny, as much as I don't want to see you win, I hope to God you're right. But I'm going to have to go with the Blues winning this one here as well. Aaron, like you said, it's going to be a tough game in St. Louis.
Yeah.
This time of year, everybody is playing hard.
Points.
Every single point matters. It might go into an overtime type of situation. So, you know, maybe the Wild will get a point out of it. But I think that the Blues will come out on top. And I'm going to go with a total goal count to 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 3-4-5.
Some heavy stuff.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That is like the grooviest thing from Sesame Street in the world.
Wasn't that? I thought 3-2-1 Contact did that.
No.
Oh, that was Sesame Street. Yep. What did 3-2-1 Contact have?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Isn't that what we just did?
Yeah, but yeah. But 3-2-1 Contact was Contact.
It's the season.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Whenever the term.
I don't know. Yeah,
but they both had the crazy like late 70s graphics going
on. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, 3-2-1 Contact was more like video effects.
Right.
Whereas the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 was like the hand-drawn. And I'm pretty sure it was Pointer Sisters that did the...
I think you're
singing
right.
Singing for that.
Yeah.
Which makes it even just groovier.
I think. So we just... let's sign off.
I think we've done it now.
All right.
We've been all over the place, you know, from Belichick to Teddy Roosevelt to the Pointer Sisters. So
a trip through history right there.
So. Right. You've been schooled.
So any of you that were born after 1990, you won't get half of these references.
Quite possibly. Yeah, with my Gavin McLeod comment, yeah. I don't even know if you... Have you ever even seen Love Boat?
I remember watching it way... And I'm the youngest out of all of us.
Yeah.
Plane.
Yeah.
You're playing the plane.
No, that was Fantasy Island.
Yeah.
Oh.
With Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah.
Right, you're right.
And whatever the shortcut was.
The Love Boat. That's right, with Isaac. There we go. Okay.
Yeah, I always got to bring the black thing into it.
Right.
was that actually a soap opera, or was that just like a nightly, like a weekly show?
I think it was just a weekly show.
Yeah, so it was weekly. Like a more sitcom-ish.
Not a sitcom, but
series. It wasn't soap opera.
There was a little bit of humor in
it. Oh, yeah.
But Yeah, it was.
It was a dramedy.
Yeah.
Before dramedies existed, I think.
See, I think at that time I was watching like The Fall Guy in A-Team, Dukes of Hazzard,
and Love Boat also had Ted McGinley.
Oh yeah, who ended up being the neighbor on why am I blank?
Jefferson Darcy.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure that MacGyver at least played hockey.
He did.
Yes. See, well, and he was from Minnesota.
Richard Dean Anderson from Roseville.
I did watch MacGyver too.
I think he played at Washburn though as well.
Roseville.
Roseville.
He's a Roseville kid.
But
yeah.
Didn't MacGyver come after Love Boat?
Yes. Yes.
Slightly yeah. after. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can we go now?
We're dating ourselves. Yeah, I think we got to kill this here. I'm going to end this thing right now. When we're not live tweeting Wild Games for Three in the Box, and that's at Three in the Box on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Aaron3ITB, where I tweet about beer, hockey, music, pinball, and other stuff. Kenny.
Yeah, and you can follow me at RottenK999 on Twitter, mainly retweeting about live audio, random stupid stuff, and, you know, sometimes posting pictures of some of the shows I'm working.
And you can follow me. I'm on Twitter as well. I'm at Jive Midnight. Peace out.
Hello.
Oh, nerds!